This meeting, the September 15th Water Planning Council Advisory Group meeting, being called to order. This meeting is, I need to mute some people here. Make sure we don't get an echo. All right. This meeting is being recorded. We're going to start out with introductions. Josh is not with us today. He is on vacation. So let's get started with Pat. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Pat Carney, Manchester Water and Sewer.
Aaron?
Aaron Budras, Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments.
John Hudak.
John Hudak, Regional Water Authority.
Martha Smith.
West River Watershed Coalition, New Haven.
Virginia.
U.S. Geological Survey, Virginia De Lima.
Fred.
Bowman and Comley on behalf of the Connecticut Power and Energy Society.
Denise.
Hi, Denise Savager with the Connecticut Association of Conservation Districts.
Jonathan Avery.
Jonathan Avery, Hazardville and Jewett City Water Company.
Dan Lawrence.
How are you doing? It's Dan Lawrence from Aquarian Water Company.
David Knopf.
Hi, Dave Knopf from the Town of Darien Health Department, representing local health departments.
Mike Emmons.
Mike Emmons, representing the Connecticut Nursery and Landscape Association.
Gail.
Gail Lucina Pura.
Margaret.
Margaret Minor, Rivers Alliance of Connecticut.
Karen.
Karen Brunesca, Save the Sound, finally got in. Thank you.
I didn't forget you this time, Karen.
That's okay. Thanks,
Beth.
Alicia.
Okay, Carol, maybe Jeff stepped away.
Carol Haskins, Pomperog River Watershed Coalition. I'm going to sign off in a few minutes and then sign right back in, just so you know.
Sure. Let's go through the agency staff. Bruce? There's Bruce.
Let me try unmuting Bruce from OPM.
Allie?
Allie Hibbard from DEEP.
All right, Sarah, I believe, are you DPH? Remind me, I'm sorry.
Connecticut Water.
Oh, Sarah, I'm sorry. Yes, Sarah from Connecticut Water. And we have a Leslie Janisonis. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Leslie Janisonis from PURA staff.
Okay, great. And is there anyone that I missed?
Iris.
Oh, Iris, sorry. Go ahead.
Iris Kaminsky, New Haven Public.
All right, we have everyone? Great. So has everyone had a chance to take a look at the minutes that Bruce sent out earlier this week? Are there any edits, comments, changes to the minutes?
Yeah, I saw a typo on page 3. This is Carol Haskins. I want to say it was like the fourth paragraph up from the bottom. There was a word missing in the sentence. It was either Martha or Margaret was referencing something, and I wasn't sure what that word missing is.
This is Bruce. I will go in there and find that, and I can check back with Carol to make sure I have it. And I also want to point out that Martha Smith pointed out today that I had attributed something to her that I believe was actually said by Margaret Minor, and I will clarify that with Margaret Minor to make sure that she actually said it, and take it from there.
Other than those items, anything else? So I have a motion to approve the minutes based on the changes that have already been mentioned.
So
with the changes. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any abstentions? Any opposed?
Carol again. I was abstaining. I wasn't at the last meeting.
Okay, Carol abstains. All right. So the minutes from the last meeting have been approved, pending the changes mentioned by Bruce and Carol. So the Water Planning Council update, Virginia, implementation work group update.
Okay, the first thing I want to stress is that we have changed the meeting date and time of the implementation work group to be the second Tuesday of the month at 1:30. This was because it just was too onerous to have the implementation work group and this group meet back to back on Zoom. What had made sense when we were meeting in person did not make sense virtually. So we met last week. Basically, we had an update from Marianne Dickinson from the Alliance for Water Efficiency. As you all know, we're planning a rates workshop in March. There's a discussion of nobody knows how quickly things are changing or not changing with COVID restrictions. And so we realized that we really should start planning to have a fallback of doing this rather than one day-long workshop is two virtual sessions. And hopefully they would be on adjacent days. It was originally, the original date had to be changed anyway because an important person from the Regional Water Authority wasn't going to be able to make it on the originally scheduled date, which had been the 18th of March. And so we're going to plan both versions and get the dates on people's calendars, but probably not make the final decision until sometime in the winter when we have a better idea of what the situation is with the virus. So that's going to be, as I say, a parallel process of preparation. Marianne had last time shared with us the results of our input to what legislation and that they should be focusing on. And she had filled out that spreadsheet with more details on information from other states, who's done what in terms of, well, one of the things was looking at various fixtures, low flow fixtures. And so this, now she had fleshed it out with saying what states had been successfully implementing one thing or another, giving us ability to check on that ourselves. So that was all very helpful. And so that she did share their analysis of that with us. There are some states that she did not recommend pursuing because they were too strict and the likelihood of them being accepted would be unrealistic, and the implementation might be unrealistic. So it's not just less is better. It was actually, their recommendations are very thought through. We got our updates from all our topical subgroups. The drought plan is still working towards having a report done by late fall in 2020. They are gathering the top 10 issues from each of their members and compiling that into their report on the analysis of what happened in the 2016-2017 drought and how that is reflected in the newest version of the drought plan. In terms of the original domestic well group, I got the final version of their white paper sent to me this morning. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. But as you may recall, we asked for input from this group, and we did get some input, which has been incorporated into the report. As I think I mentioned last time, we will be responding to the individuals who provided that input, indicating things that we may have disagreed with and why we disagreed with it. And so there will be an explicit response to those who were gracious enough to provide us with the input. This report will be going to the water plant. Well, you'll all see it. I'll forward it to you. No, excuse me. You're the advisory group. The implementation work group will take a look at it, and we will forward it, the final version, to the Water Planning Council sometime in the next several weeks. The outreach and education topical subwork group, again, note that, as I think I mentioned last time, we changed the name of that, focusing on outreach and education. And as I think I mentioned, they have identified that they have really two audiences with whom they're working, more, if you want to say, professional types, the agencies and whatnot, who some of whom need to be, not just state agencies, but organizations across the state, who might need to know more about the state water plan. And then on the other hand, is more the general public. They will be focusing on that first group initially, and then as their work progresses, they'll be more engaged with the outreach to the general public, which is much more of an educational component, probably working closely with various organizations and people within state agencies who already have a large focus on education and tapping their expertise so as not to be duplicating any of that kind of work. Also, the regionalization and interconnections topical group, as I think you know, the Water Planning Council requested that the proposal for that work group be expanded to include wastewater. That was done and sent to the Water Planning Council, but they had not had time to review that adequately, particularly Graham Stevens, who is sitting in Betsy Wingfield's slot. He had not had a chance to look at it, and so requested that they postpone their discussion until their next meeting in October. The domestic well water quality topical subgroup, I think you may recall that Mike Dietz is continuing to chair that, and one group is sort of morphing into another. They're bringing on new types of folks for that, and Mike has sent out an initial email to request participation or recommendations of people or agency types, agency or any kind of group that should be represented on that. And so they're hoping to have a meeting in late September. If you are interested in participating in that group, do contact Mike Dietz. We also talked about how people might be alerted to the availability of the existence of these work groups if they wanted to participate. And we're hoping to do that both the less formal way of identifying people we know of and asking them for input, but also we're hoping to get more up-to-date information on the web so that somebody could go to the web to see at minimum the proposal of what they're doing or what they propose to do and get a contact person so that they could follow up if they were interested in doing so. So are there any questions or is there anything that I left out from people who had attended the meeting who want to augment what I just said?
Hey, Virginia, this is Dan Lawrence. How are you?
Okay.
Good. So the rates workshop, what is the focus of that?
Basically, it is there's been a lot of talk over the years of various ways of conservation, and obviously the big hurdle for conservation from the industry's point of view is that sell less water, it affects your bottom line. It's there's a challenge, economic challenge to it. Various places that the Alliance for Water Efficiency has worked across the country has demonstrated that there are ways of changing rates and not jeopardizing the bottom line of the industry. And they have a model that they've put together, which they do make available to participants in their workshop. And they are having at least one, hopefully two, demonstration water companies that they will have done ahead of time to share with the group. The Regional Water Authority has agreed to be one of the pilots. We're trying to find a municipality to be a second one, just so that we have two different flavors of industry to demonstrate how it might be possible to implement rates that would encourage conservation without it jeopardizing the financial stability of the company itself. As I said, the workshop will present these and also make the model itself available so that people can do it on their own. But it's important that they understand how it all works, and that's why they're trying to get a couple of demonstration companies so that they can actually have that. They want to start that modeling this fall, so we're certainly hoping that we can find a municipality to participate. The private companies already have the rate adjustment mechanism that they can use, and so we're not focusing on that, but that the rate adjustment mechanism is not available to regional or municipal companies at this point.
Thank you very much.
So if there anybody's here from a municipality who might want to talk about it more, let me know. Or John, if you want to talk about what Regional Water assumes is going to be going on, that might help clarify for people exactly what it is.
Yeah, we met with Marianne and her colleague already and just talked about data needs and then gave them some of the specifics and nuances of our rate structure. And so they're going to look at how to make that fit into their model. And they'll be looking at both our existing rate structure and rates, along with analyzing what will probably be our upcoming rate case a year from now or so. So it should be pretty interesting. We don't know where it's going to end up, but we're looking forward to it.
Are there other questions or comments? Back to you, Alicia.
So other water planning, state water plan matters, those will all be addressed in the work group updates. So let's move on to the WOOC update. Who will be giving the WOOC update? Would that be Dan or...
So I don't think the update, I read the minutes from the last meeting. There hasn't been a lot of change. Eric McPhee and I have been trying to arrange for a joint meeting with people who want to be involved with implementation of the WOOC plan with some priorities. So that was supposed to happen in August, but life happens in August. And we had a storm and a bunch of other things. And then it was supposed to be September. So I have a note to call Eric and catch up on that. So the WOOCs have been meeting. I would say this, the activity to the Western WOOC relative to new potential systems and into Aquarian's exclusive service areas has been pretty active. A lot of small wine shops and things like that, gas stations, convenience stores that are, 1,000, 2,000 feet away from our systems. So it's amazing to me that we're still having a lot of economic development, which is good, but there's been pretty active in comparison to previous years. So that's really all. I mean, based on the last minutes, that's most of what's happened. Not much has happened since then.
Thanks, Dan. Any questions for Dan?
I can, this is John Avery. I can supplement the Eastern WOOC. We've had a little bit of activity. We haven't met, but we've had a little bit of activity, and we have been encouraging a new system to be run by the exclusive service holder, and it seems to be migrating in that direction, so that seems to be a favorable development, and that's been occurring over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Outside of that, I think we're looking for get together with Dan, as Dan was speaking of, and the next meetings will probably be these joint meetings that Dan speaks of.
Thanks, Jonathan.
That's it.
Do we have anyone on that can give an interagency drought work group update? Bruce, would that be you?
Have to unmute yourself, Bruce.
I had a pen in my hand over here and had to move over here to unmute myself. I guess I can give an update because I've been in the meetings. The group met 2 weeks ago Thursday, and we'll be meeting again this Thursday, looking at updated data. Where things currently stand are that the northern four counties are in drought stage 2, and the southern four counties are in drought stage 1. And we'll be seeing what updated data we have as of probably today, tomorrow, and look at that on Thursday. It's difficult to make changes mid-month because some of the most crucial data really aren't available until we hit the end of the month. But that's where we stand right now.
Does anybody have any questions about the interagency drought work group? Any comments? Okay. So the nominating committee.
Alicia, excuse me 1 second. I was talking, didn't realize I was muted.
Go ahead.
Do you know if the topical subgroup on drought will be making a recommendation that when possible or if possible, the data that are assimilated for the interagency drought task force to analyze be available on a more frequent basis than monthly? As Bruce just said, the end of some of the data won't be available when they meet in the next couple of days because it's not updated very frequently. Is that going to be one of the recommendations?
So that's certainly been one of the things that we've been talking about. It's been in several of the members of the drought work group's recommendations that have sort of floated to the top, but we're still working out the recommendations themselves, but with putting up the data that they get, that they review during the meeting, it's definitely been an improvement over past years where we've had to piece together in reviewing the last drought, dig up old data to try to figure out what they were basing the information on. So the fact that those presentations have been posted have been extremely helpful, or at least what they have at the time.
Well, what came out when we went to stage 2, there was an announcement that came out, and I honestly forget now. I believe it might have been from Martin Heff, but whoever it was from, there was that announcement, which led to 2 or 3 interviews with media by Eric Lindquist or Martin. I sat in on one of those. We update the website. So those kinds of things happen. you know, to back up a little to the thing about getting data more frequently, we could USGS out every single day to gauge wells, and, you know, DPH could call water companies more frequently for info. And when we start getting, you know, at even before hitting stage two, DPH at that point was beginning to request, I believe, weekly data from water companies that were capable of providing it. At more advanced stages of drought, drought will begin to divert attention from other things. Right now, it is consuming more of people's time than it would, say, at a lower stage, but we're not into the kind of crisis level where you start taking people off a lot of other things and have them focus on these things. And that's also when communications have to be better. We're still working out a number of aspects of the drought plan as we're doing this, because things that look good in writing don't necessarily translate well when you try to make them happen.
Sorry about that, folks. I usually don't have this many connection problems, but I just got booted again. I have no idea how long I was frozen. But Virginia, have you looked recently at all the information that's available from the recent meetings on the Interagency Drought Work Group site?
No, I haven't.
They actually, a lot of the information that they have is actually much better than it has been in the past. They post the presentations that contain all of the data that they're making the decisions on. So that is definitely an improvement from the previous drought.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Alicia, Mike Evans here. I was on mute and didn't realize it, and I tried to ask a question. So I'd like to ask a question now. The state is currently, especially in the northern section of the state, is considered by the U.S. Drought Monitor to be a severe drought. And I know the northern part of Connecticut is in the stage two criteria for the state monitoring. Is there any discussion on moving that to a stage three, or is that still not anything we want to be at yet? Maybe Virginia can answer that better than anybody. I'm just curious.
So the Interagency Drought Work Group is basing this off of criteria in the drought plan. So that is something, depending on the data that they see, based on stream flow, groundwater, the drought status from the federal drought status, and a few other factors. They'll be basing it on that with some professional judgment mixed into that. So, you know, there's a certain, you know, things for like stream flow and groundwater, there have to be a certain consecutive months to move to the next level. So it depends on what they see in the data at this drought meeting as to whether they'll go to the next level or not.
Okay, thanks.
Virginia, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'm going to keep my video off here just so if I try to prevent any other bandwidth issues from happening again. So I want to move on. Is there anything else on the drought interagency work group update before we move on? All right, so before I turn it over to John, I wanted to either make an announcement or give Mike Evans an opportunity to make an announcement. Mike, how would you like to do this? You're on mute, Mike.
How about now? Okay.
I can hear you now, you're good.
Okay, everybody. Recently, I sent a email to Alicia with the intention that at the end of the year, I will be stepping down from my role as representing CNLA on the advisory group. It was a difficult decision, but a decision that I needed to make, and I will be staying on to the end of the year. I've informed CNLA. They're aware of my intentions. My backup, Christian Joseph, will continue to be as an alternate, but he has no intention. He does not want to become full-time chairperson on the committee. So CNLA will be filling my position. I will be staying to the end of the year. Hopefully the transition will be seamless. It's important that CNLA has some good representation on this board. I think it's important. I felt it was important. I enjoyed my position, work with all of you, but life changes and I need to make some changes myself. So thank you.
Well, Mike, I know we still have you for a few more months, but I just want to say you've been really an incredible contributor to this group, and you will be missed when you have to leave us at the end of the year. But I hope this means you get more paddling days in. Gets more days in for me, too.
You know, there's a lot of things going on in life that prevents us from doing more than we'd like, but that's one of the intentions for sure.
All right, anything else before we turn it over to John? Like I said, we can have a little farewell at the end of the year, that's where Mike is right now. So go ahead, John.
Sorry to hear you leaving, Mike. It has been a pleasure having you on the group, and I guess I'll have to kind of unwrap the bow that I tied this proposed member slate with. So it's good to hear CNLA will still be represented. I think we can handle that on here by just maybe kind of leaving a blank name, but keeping the organization as a representative. But in any case, this is ready to go. So we just need a motion to recommend this slate for approval to the Water Planning Council. The amendment I just talked about taking Mike's name off. So back to the chair to solicit a motion and take it from there.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve the slate to send to the Water Planning Council with the change that John had mentioned?
Yeah, this is Dan Lawrence. I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
This is Aaron. I will second it.
Is there any discussion? All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye or raising your hand.
Aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Are there any abstentions? Great. We have something to put on the Water Planning Council's to-do list for the next meeting.
Great. Now I'll get you the next. I'll get you a new version, Alicia.
Okay. I promise to send that to the right person this time. I'll send it to Gail. Gail, you'll be getting that in your inbox soon. All right, so the Watershed Lands Work Group, there are a few updates here for the Watershed Lands Work Group. Karen, Margaret, who would like to take the...
Where is Karen?
Karen switched to the phone, and maybe she's having a hard time getting herself off mute.
Oh, okay. Well,
Karen, if you're talking, we can't hear you. Go ahead, Margaret.
Okay. Karen, come off mute. At any rate, at the last Water Planning Council, the Watershed Lands Group has been working on a long time on two aspects relating to conveyance issues. One is a specific conveyance in Cheshire of 48 acres. The other is improving the questionnaire for the Conveyance Act that legislators fill out so that they will put in information regarding ground cover if it's in an aquifer protection area. I think we asked for, is it AA water? Is that you, Karen?
Yes, it's
okay.
Can you hear me now? Yes, I'm back on.
Okay, so what I've been saying is we've had the traditional, we reported to the Water Planning Council on our longstanding issues with the Conveyance Act, the questionnaire we wanted augmented for, amplified for legislators so that they would know and we would know if they're important water resources involved in the land to be conveyed. And then there is the question of the 48 Cheshire acres. The Water Planning Council accepted our questionnaire, but in the meantime, the issue that I think we first discussed in the group, but obviously very relevant, is the question of solar facilities or other harmful projects. We were talking about clean energy projects in sensitive watershed lands, and I'm going to ask if John is there, but briefly, if John could describe, I will say that when the Water Planning Council heard of the proposal for the a solar farm, I guess you'd say, in the original Water Authority watershed, they and that really concerned them. And there are a number, there's really a rather large number of items coming to the Siting Council this session. And the Water Planning Council said that they would take it up, and Karen, you may want to take it from here, but my recollection of the language is that they said that they wanted the Siting Council, or they wanted to discuss it with them, or the Siting Council to take another look at the Regional Water Authority, the project proposed for, I think it's the Lake Whitney watershed, and in general, not just that one thing, but what does the Siting Council propose to do, or how does it feel about these projects that are coming in drinking water watersheds? And also, John, I don't know how you would like to describe where you are and what your deadlines are. So that's my report thus far, which I'm turning over, I guess, to Karen and to John, however you want to handle that, Karen.
Well, thank you. And I apologize. When I didn't think I was on mute, I was trying to explain the same thing happened to me that happened with Alicia. Virginia was frozen on and off, but I think John could give the members a good idea of what's going on in Hamden in that the solar project proposed in watershed land. And Margaret, I think
proposed by a private group. It is now before the Siting Council. They have a petition for a declaratory ruling to basically say a certificate of environmental compatibility and need is not needed. The town of Hamden submitted a letter from the mayor requesting a public hearing. They are wisely anticipating that if they held a site visit, it'd be very well attended, perhaps too well attended to do it right now. So that's where everything's at right now. It is 12, involves clearing 12 acres of forest land on our public water supply watershed.
I don't know. Have you heard or have you seen anything from the Water Planning Council to the Siting Council?
Not from the Water Planning Council, but the DPH did submit a letter. I'm sure I could. I have a copy. I'd be happy to share that. It went to the Siting Council with a list of their concerns and recommendations.
Thank you, John. Margaret and I briefly spoke, and what is your feeling? And we, the Watershed Lands Work Group, had a meeting, and we're trying to set up a meeting with DPH in general to talk about not just solar projects, but any large project that would have a large or significant disturbance of watershed land. And sit down and have a meeting with them. Your feelings on it? I think you were supportive of it all along. The initial.
Supportive of meeting
and talking about this.
Karen, that's been on my to-do list to circle back.
Okay.
With, and
okay.
That was my ball that got dropped there. It's been on my list and it's still there. It'll get done.
Okay. Okay.
I had set it aside when COVID started because I knew DPH was quite busy considering the circumstances as well as not having a commissioner for a while. So I had set that aside. And I also just, I cut out a couple of times, but I just wanted to make sure that a couple of things were clear from the Water Planning Council meeting, that the questionnaire, the Water Planning Council had asked that some statute references be added to some of the items within the questionnaire. So that is pending right now. It's on my plate to get those added and sent back up to the Water Planning Council. And Gail and I discussed this at the beginning of the meeting, that she can do a check to make sure I've got everything correct. The other thing was that, and I think John might have mentioned this, but like I said, I cut out. The Water Planning Council did vote to send a letter on the Hamden project as well at the Water Planning Council meeting. So is there anything else? And then I'll, I know Denise has her hand raised for a question, but let me just make sure Karen and Margaret are.
Just a question. Do you know if the Water Planning Council, maybe Gail, would have they sent that letter? And if so, could we get a copy of it?
I'm sorry, Karen, what letter are you looking for?
This is a letter that the Water Planning Council was going to send to the Siting Council on the Lake Whitney solar project.
I'll check it out.
Thank you very much. That's it right now.
Denise?
Yeah. I just want land out of production and or cutting down forests. The legislature acted immediately in 2017 and passed Public Act 27-218. But what we're seeing now with these solar projects and this one in Hamden that's on the water company land is a case in point, is that the legislation directed the Siting Council to make sure they got input from the Department of Agriculture if it involved prime agricultural soils, and then also the DEEP if there was forest that was going to be cut down, but they specifically talked about core forest, meaning forest that were identified you know, we need that, the forest, to protect our public drinking water supply. So there's a real challenge there, and I would say a gaping hole. Other part of that is that they actually specifically said they weren't in an APA area, an aquifer protection area. And somehow during this major environmental report they put in, they missed that they were in a public drinking water supply watershed. So it's not just that they're doing this activity, but that the fact is that they didn't know, and the DEP people that they spoke with, no one knew that this was in a public drinking water supply watershed. And I think that's a real problem for us when something of this nature doesn't get immediately identified. So again, I think we need to look at what we need to do to fix Public Act 17-218 in terms of not talking about source water protection areas as being critical, and what we need to do there, as well as, you know, looking at the whole idea of source water protection. And then I'm just going to make a couple of comments. I have, from a technical perspective, looked at this, and you know, the information that they are providing in terms of whether there's going to be good erosion and sediment controls, their stormwater management plan, everything is sorely lacking in this particular plan. And I think we really need to address that. And then this final piece is that the Governor's Council on Climate Change is looking at mitigation and adaptation, and it's the first time that that we're really looking at climate change and what we need to do to fix climate change and adapt to climate change in a comprehensive way. And we are finally looking at the ecosystem services provided by forests beyond the fact that, okay, we can cut them down because, you know, like, who cares about forests? It's the cheapest place. And that's what they're looking at. Where's the cheapest land to put large-scale solar? So they're cutting down forests to put in large-scale solar, and they're not looking at the other ecosystem services, including, you know, protecting drinking water supplies, including carbon sequestration. So it makes no sense that we have all of these PV solar installations coming up before the Siting Council, and none of the work that's being done by the Governor's Council on Climate Change is being considered. And I find it, you know, I don't think we have to have the Governor's Council on Climate Change report to be able to look at the ecosystem services provided by forests. And that's not even part of the equation that's being considered by, being considered by the Siting Council, which, you know, has representation from DEP on it as well as other agencies. So I think it's very neglectful, and we really need to be paying attention to this, and particularly, like I said, for this group, but not only for drinking water supply watersheds. It's not looking at how it's impacting watersheds in general. So that's a problem for us, because they're really, you know, there's nothing about water or water quality or water quantity that is in any of these regulations. And it really falls to the stormwater management permit is the only permit that's required. And it falls to those people to basically say, no, you can't do a particular project. And that's a very heavy burden for a regulatory perspective. We really need to have better policy saying we're not going to incentivize PV solar in source water protection areas. So that's my spiel.
So, Denise, you are recommending legislative changes or amendments?
I am recommending that we update Public Act 17-218. I'm also, they also should really be considering a moratorium on these PV solar installations, as well as anything large scale, so that we can really look at, you know, so that we're weighing the ecosystem services versus what solar, because what they're doing from a cost-benefit analysis is the classic, okay, here's the cost of installation here versus the costs of installation someplace else, and they're not looking at any of the externalities. So, you know, it's the classic problem when we're only looking at a corporate-driven economic analysis, looking at bottom line rather than looking at the external costs, you know, to society and the consumer, in this case, protecting our public drinking water supply. So they're not doing any of that analysis when they're doing the siting, and I think that that's problematic for us.
I'll just ask you, Alicia, that's you got some good fodder there to mention to DPH when you talk to them about a meeting. I think that's probably the best way to proceed on this, is to meet with DPH first.
So sadly, I only heard about a quarter of it because I lost my connectivity no less than three times while Denise was talking. I apologize, Denise. But the work has already started within the Watershed Lands Work Group, but it sounds like we need to possibly expand the scope of what they're looking at in the Watershed Lands Group, or do you think this warrants its own ad hoc work group?
I think it can fit under this work group, and I will say, and Alicia, you probably know this, but Peter Hearn at CEQ is really working on this hard. If you have the chance to go on the websites and look at what CEQ has said on some of the PV solar installations, they're doing some really good work and really good reports on data. They haven't submitted their report yet on the Gaylord's Mountain site yet, which is the one in Hamden. So I'm looking forward to that. But on some of the other PV solar installations related to farm and whatever, Peter has done some really good statistical work on some of the challenges. So I'm just putting it out there that DPH wouldn't be there alone, that CEQ is really looking at this and this balance. And so I definitely think it's something that the Working Lands Group can work together with and may want to, you know, bring in a bigger cohort, but it may be
Am I back? Can anyone hear me?
Of it. I always like to try to meet with DPH, but it doesn't happen very often. But I think the Watershed Lands Group can address these issues, broaden the participation as needed. And in fact, I had been asking, isn't it time for us to meet again and take a look at the wider picture? Just to second it, yes, that should include, CEQ has done a great job of giving us a larger picture. I want to mention one other thing. All of the clean energy projects, you don't have to, and they say petition for a declaratory ruling. That's all you can do. You cannot, by law, ask for a certificate of necessity, whatever. I'm surprised. It's not even easy to get a public hearing sometimes. And I think that law needs to be looked at. It's illogical that a cell tower gets more environmental scrutiny than 12-acre solar array in a drinking water watershed.
The clean energy projects go through on a petition, which is for declaratory ruling, which an awful lot of times is pretty much a rubber stamp and doesn't have the scrutiny or public participation of the traditional certificate process. So we should have a look at that too, I think.
May I make the suggestion that we get the Watershed Lands Work Group together and invite Peter Hearn to present or to come to our meeting? I know and tell us what he's doing and what CEQ is doing. We've had luck in the past when we've had speakers or presentations to get a large group there. But from what you say, Denise, I think Peter would be great to have come to our meeting and talk with us about it.
You're reading my mind, Karen. That's what I was about to suggest.
I think Peter would be a great addition. And just in terms of what Margaret said, I think that's exactly one of the challenges we're in right now. And I'm actually looking at what will come out of the GC3 and changes to policy and changes to legislation besides the Public Act 17-218. But basically, do we need to change the legislation and the policy on this? Because you're absolutely correct. Just doing a declaratory ruling on any energy project, we're really not balancing the role of large-scale solar with, you know, other environmental, like I said, ecosystem services of the land that's already there, whether it be prime agricultural land or forested land in the source water protection area or whatever. And we're also not looking at some of the challenge, where we should be going with distributed generation. It's all about large scale solar, and there's no forethought into, let's take this one in Hamden. We're in Hamden. We're in an area that has plenty of rooftops, New Haven area. Why are we not just doing distributed generation on rooftops instead of cutting down, you know, forest in a drinking water supply watershed to install this solar? Solar is anti-consumer. So just putting that out there as well.
So I again got booted out again, but I just wanted to, ask, we don't need to take a vote on this, but I just want to ask if anybody has any comments on this subject before the Watershed Lands moves forward. Anyone else want to chime in on this? Anyone else have anything to say, contribute?
This is Iris. I just wanted to thank Denise for explaining the conflict with solar, because I did not understand that aspect of that there are other options that are that would support consumers better and will be consistent with adapting or mitigating climate change. I just wanted to thank Denise for pointing that out, because I think that's very important. And it's not that I don't think that RWA can't find other ways to install, to use renewable. This is not my field, but if we could be more creative, if there would be a more creative solution that won't threat the watershed, I think that's something to be looked for.
Iris, just let me clarify that this is not an RWA project.
Oh, sorry.
We do have a solar array. It was constructed on one of our well fields. It was previously disturbed land, former gravel pit, but this is not our project, so we're going to make that clear.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, anyone else? we'll be sure that the meeting date and time is distributed to the Water Planning Advisory Group for the Watershed Lands Group, so that anybody who would like to participate can. So once Karen and Margaret, you guys get the date together, you can copy myself, Josh, and Bruce, and we'll get that out there. And you guys can use my Zoom account if you need it.
Thank you. We'll check with Peter Hearn and get some dates from him and see if we can find a time and date and time that's mutually agreeable to most people.
Great. Thank you, Karen. All right. Anything else from the Watershed Lands Group before we move on? Okay, so turning my video off has not helped. I still keep getting booted. So I'm going to keep my video on. So at least you know, if you see me frozen in like some weird position like this, you'll know that I cannot communicate with you. This is extremely frustrating. I sincerely apologize to all of you. There's no update on the conservation pricing and rate recovery analysis work group, but the Water Planning Council specifically, Lori Matthew from DPH and Jack Bukowski from PURA wanted to meet with me to go over a few things that they would like to see in the scope. So that has yet to happen. So once I meet with them, I'll come back to you guys with whatever they want to add into the scope. That's the update there. I don't think we have any other work group updates. Unless anybody wants to speak up quickly, I'm going to try to zip through the rest of this agenda before I lose my, I think I lost my connection again. Rats.
Sure, I'll do my best. I don't know a lot what's going on with these work groups. So again, if anybody.
Okay, what did you get?
Where
did I get cut off?
I think we're on 5B or C.
Okay, so I have nothing on 5B. 5C, the Water Planning Council wants to meet with me to talk a little bit more about the scope. They like the concept, but there are some things that they would like to see. So I will come back to you guys after I have an opportunity to meet with them with a change to the proposal. So I'll come back to you guys, we'll vote on it, and then we'll assume there will be some sort of blessing from the Water Planning Council once I meet with them. I'm talking really fast to try to get through this before I get booted again. I completely apologize for what's going on today. This is so unusual. Is there any new business that I'm missing?
Alicia, I have a question.
Sure.
So 5C is what, the Utility Merger Analysis Work Group?
Yes.
Okay. And what type of discussion are you planning to have with Jack and Laurie?
So the proposal that we had approved went to them for approval. And they wanted to, there were some things that they wanted, were thinking they wanted to include in the scope. So they wanted to meet with me. So after I meet with them, I will be bringing it back to you guys with their recommendations and suggestions.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? All right, is there any new business that we missed that anybody would like to bring up? Is there any public comments? All right. So the next Water Planning Advisory Group meeting will be October 20th at 1:30. Just so you know that we will be moving to a passcode per Zoom rules moving forward. So I don't think you need it for the video link, but we will be using the passcode instead of the waiting room. It's just too difficult to manage a meeting this size with a waiting room. You end up with people just sitting there for 5 minutes waiting until I notice to let people in. So that change is happening in the next meeting. I don't think it'll be too disruptive. The interagency drought work group, or I'm sorry, the implementation work group will be meeting on October 13th at 1:30, and the Water Planning Council will be meeting on October 6th at 1:30. Anything else for the good of the order before we adjourn and before I lose my connection again? All right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Is there a second? Is there anybody opposed to adjourning?
I'll second.
All right, folks, thank you for joining me today, and thank you for being patient with my connection issues.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.